everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And I am so delighted to let you know that we have a guest that we've had on here before. We're actually calling this part two of our empathy discussions. And so today we have back Stephanie Solomon. You might remember her. She is a physician assistant and she's been practicing for 10 years, but she's with Animo Sano Psychiatry. And she's so delightful because she treats a lot of different types of mental health conditions, including depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, and more. And she's even specialized in the area of ADHD. But today, we're going to continue our conversation. So we're calling this part two on empathy. And so first of all, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's such an important topic. So I think it's definitely
It really is. And before this show started, we were talking so much about other ways of helping children learn empathy. So we're going to start this right off because she's done a lot of work on this, but we want to learn more about how we can teach empathy to our children. And we're going to take that from a parent's point of view first. So can you elaborate on that? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. So as far as empathy, you know, we had talked about how a lot of it is taking, you know, the perspective and understanding the perspective of other people. And so encouraging our kids to kind of understand that others may have different perspectives and different viewpoints, broadening their world, you know, to, you know, what they're normally used to, you know, to see like other things and kind of knowing like that everyone is different, and being, you know, more cognizant of that. We could like have them do different activities, you know, community service and travel, you know, and once they're old enough, but and just talking about, you know, other cultures and other people. And, you know, when they're really young, kind of just talking to them about how other, maybe other people they know in school or other kids, you know, are maybe different and things may be different for them than it is for them. So, and just letting them know that it's okay to be different and it's okay to be imperfect, and just kind of reducing, you know, discrimination and appreciating diversity. So like one thing we could do is to say, you know, just remind them that everyone is different. And while one situation might be a big deal to one, might be hurtful to another. And like I said, talking about what's going on in the world and how others in those areas must be feeling so that they can understand the emotional part. Also, you know, in young kids, it may be hard to recognize certain emotions. You know, they're more aware and more familiar with the simple, you know, happy, sad, angry, but kind of talking about the more like nuanced emotions, like getting frustrated or disappointed. And helping them understand those things.
It's kind of interesting because I remember when my son was younger, he was in counseling at that time. And the counselor had suggested, I said, how can I teach him empathy? And we had this conversation. And he said, well, what about volunteering? You know, and you volunteering with him. And the first suggestion was with the children who, you know, were terminally ill. And my son was like, no, I don't want to do that, because he felt very uncomfortable. And then the second one, I was on the board of CASA for 12 years. So he volunteered there, but we didn't really get that empathy feeling. But the one thing that really connected with him was animals. And so we did some work with animal shelters. And so is that a good idea? Does working with animals help with empathy?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of animals that, while they may not have the cognitive component that us humans have, a lot of them have the emotional component. So, you know, watching them, you know, animals can definitely be empathetic and take, you know, do things for each other. And so having kids see that, I think could definitely be beneficial for sure.
And they have to, you know, they have to care for them, right? They have to feed them. Yeah. You know, they hold them, they talk to them. It's that gentle emotion that I saw with my son that really was so helpful at a young age.
Right. So, yeah. I think that'd be a great idea.
So with parents, give us an example in terms of, let's say, you know, you've got parents that are busy, they're running around, they're getting their kids off to school. If they are not seeing that with their children, they can always ask what's going on at school, right? And getting examples like that. If there's something going on with a student that maybe they're a peer with, how does a parent open dialogue with their children about something like that?
I think just talking about how they're feeling, you know, actually having that conversation and acknowledging like reading the body cues and then acknowledging that something isn't right, you know, so talking through those emotions with them, even if they have trouble describing it, you know, they could, you could have them draw something or do some artwork that maybe they would be able to show more like what they're experiencing versus verbalizing it. So I think that would be a good step. And then of course, you know, showing them empathy on ourselves, so is a good way for them to kind of, you know, recognize how they should be treating others or how others should be treating them. So trying, you know, trying not to yell as much and maybe put ourselves in their position when they are having big feelings, you know, so, and let them know that we understand how they feel, and just showing them appreciation and attention and care, and then talking through the whatever they're feeling with them. If they do something nice, then showing them praise or gratitude, and celebrating others' successes with them. And same thing with, if you know, it's the positive and negative. So you could celebrate other people's joys and successes with them. And if, you know, their friends are going through something unpleasant, you know, you can talk to them about that too. And, you know, say, how do you think so-and-so is feeling right now? That must be really hard for them. Or, you know, like, let's say their friend like loses their cat or something. You know, they, you can say like, how do you think that you would feel if that, so they understand that, that emotion, and then they can, if needed, you know, they'll be more in tune with their own inner, you know, emotions and perspectives. So
I got it. And the other thing I wanted, I just made a note that you had made a comment. You said, you know, getting the body cues. Can you give us some examples maybe of things to look out for with our children? Because sometimes our children will, especially teenagers, right? They don't want to talk to us, or they're, you know, they're busy and they don't want to be bothered. But what are some cues that we should look out for as parents?
I think just looking for anything that seems off or different, you know, like if they're normally looking at their phone and not talkative, you know, just letting them know that, like, if nothing necessarily seems different, but you want to make sure that they feel like they can tell you things, you know, just saying things like, if there's anything going on, like, I'm here, you can talk to me. And then just, you know, maybe like watching, like, if they don't, you know, eat as much, like as far as their breakfast, or if they seem like, you know, even if they're doing something that's out of habit, like if they kind of, let's say they normally are on social media talking to their friends, and then all of a sudden they aren't doing that. And they, you know, maybe they're having some issues with their friends, you know, so just noticing like differences, you know, in their routine, and things like that, I think would be helpful to let them know that something seems not right. And then just kind of saying like, hey, is everything going okay with, you know, whoever?
That's a great idea. That's a really good idea. Do you have any suggestions? Somebody wrote into us the other day to ask about this, about if your teenager is in their room and they go to the room and they don't want to talk to you, and then you notice this several times a day, or, you know, several days in a row, what's the best way to draw them out, or to, you know, because there could be something going on, right? But we don't know. And so do you have any suggestions for parents? We had somebody that wrote in the other day saying that they were really frustrated because they had a teenage girl and she just wouldn't communicate with them.
Yeah, that one's tough. I think maybe, you know, kind of playing, you know, using something that may be something that, you know, is important to her or that she might enjoy, like maybe doing something, you know, suggesting an activity that you used to do together when she was younger, you know, or as a family even, and just make it like it's a family thing, not like you're specifically trying to get her to come out, you know. Yeah. And I guess, yeah, but that's tough with that age for sure.
Yeah, so. That's a great one. And I didn't want to take that away from empathy, but you know, it starts early, right? The better that we can get our children to talk to us earlier is always better, right? So when somebody wrote that in the other day, I thought of you because I thought, you know, that's something that you would have an answer to, which you did, which is awesome. So talk to us about, you know, parents are really important, right? In terms of what we do, and they will sometimes copy our behavior, right? So it's really important to know what we're doing could impact what they are doing. But what about teachers? How can in a classroom setting, because we have a lot of teachers that write to us and listen to our podcast. So what are things that teachers can do to teach empathy?
I think, you know, forming like a trusting relationship with the children is important. And especially at like a young age, you know, preschool age and younger elementary is kind of when it's the most important, because that's like when their brain and their empathy centers, you know, are developing and, you know, developing that cognitive part of understanding others' feelings and things like that. So, you know, helping the kids to see what like social loving relationships look like, and doing, you know, exercises and things like that, you know, and so the teacher treating them with empathy and talking to them about their feelings as well, you know, maybe reading books on different feelings so that they're able to recognize all of those different emotions, and maybe like watching videos and then talking about it, you know, like there's different movies and TV shows that promote diversity and, you know, inclusion and things like that. So they could like do that and then talk about it, you know, and ask them how they, you know, how they relate and how they feel like the other person is feeling or experiencing.
Right. No, that's really good. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that, and I wanted to see if you would elaborate. You were talking about brain development. Can you kind of give us like a little visual or a chart of when our children's, their brains are developing?
So basically like at birth, babies are, it's innate to have emotions and to have empathy. It takes work and practice to build on that. So in the first, like probably from birth until like 5 years of age is when it's the most crucial. And so, you know, that's when you're forming like your ideas and values and social and learning how to have social connections and things like that. So, you know, working with like children of that age would be, you know, I feel like is a good, you know, would be a good time to kind of practice empathy. And so, which I think, you know, should be something that is mandatory in preschools and schools, at least, you know, not every kid goes to preschool, but like, at least I feel like in kindergarten, first grade, it would be beneficial because at that age, they're still like, you're starting to understand the more cognitive part of empathy. There's actually a program called Seeds of Empathy and Seeds of Roots of Empathy. And so it was started by a woman, Mary Gordon. She's the founder. And so the reason she started this is because research had shown that and science showed that the first 5 years of their life is going to shape the rest of their life and their experiences. So they trained their teachers, the early childhood and elementary school teachers, to practice empathy with the children. And so the mission is to build like a more caring and civil and peaceful society by raising the empathy levels in children. And so they nurture emotion, what they call emotional literacy. So where the children become more competent in their understanding of their own feelings and others. And so this relationship of the early childhood educator is really important and really is, you know, enriching to the children doing this. So this research on the program had shown it decreased bullying, it decreased aggression in the children, and it improved their social connections and their traditional literacy as well, like in school, you know, as far as art and math and all that stuff. So I think that something like that, you know, that we could do in with young kids would be really beneficial. Yeah, things like that. The science had shown that doing it in that, you know, that young age, implementing these kinds of programs had long-term beneficial, you know, benefits as far as their relationships and things like that.
And this area is so fascinating to me because, like I said, like you said, you felt it should be covered in schools. And I completely agree. A lot of kids today have divorced parents, and some kids are not. And they're, when they're younger, that's a new environment to that. And I remember even in my own life, because I was a single mom for 10 years. And so I think it was like kindergarten, first grade or so, you know, we went in and we would meet kids that were like, well, where's your mom? Where's your dad? And it's so, you know, kids can be innocent and they can hurt as well. Right. And so in those situations, if you are, I just want to ask you this question, because I remember so specifically, if you were in that environment where you go to an event, you know, a picnic or something, and there's parents there, that a party, but then there's maybe a single parent and that topic comes up like, well, why don't you have a dad or why don't you have a mom? Do you have any suggestions on that, Rafi? Because I remember, you know, even for the parent, what could we do? What could we say to make them feel more comfortable? What could we say to our children to make them feel more comfortable where we're not hurting others? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, just letting them know that, like I said, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's situation is different, and that's okay. Just like reinforcing that will help them be more, less judgmental towards their friends and towards other situations, so that when the opportunity or when the situation does come up, you know, they'll be more open to it instead of kind of having that sudden, you know, reaction where, you know, if the kid is not prepared or thinks something's unusual, you know, they may have more of a, you know, reaction. And so just having them, you know, showing them movies and books about different, you know, different families and different, you know, places, you know, situations and, cultures and things like that.
One thing I was going to mention too, is that even when I was, younger, my son, was one, when I became a single mom, and I remember there was and I don't remember the name of the book myself, but there was a book about divorce and about just talking to him. And you know, I got to tell you, it was a book, I can't remember the name, but it was one about, you know, how both parents truly do love the child. I read that book over and over and over. And my son is 22 now, and he saw it the other day, and he was referencing it to somebody saying, this was such a great book that, you know, and he knew another family that was going through a divorce. He said, you should really have them read this book to her. And I just welled up in tears, because I never knew that doing something like that would have such an impact. But that goes back to the empathy portion, right? Is teaching them earlier, at an earlier age, you know, that people go through these things, and, you know, it's how we respond to that, right?
Right, right. And so practicing it ourselves, you know, treating others graciously and, you know, in front of our children is, you know, and, you know, they learn by modeling and by seeing. And so that, you know, of course is important. And sometimes it's hard to not jump to conclusions or to form judgments, you know, but we just have to remain, you know, aware of that in ourselves and model that for our kids.
It's so true. You're like the go-to person, Stephanie. You've always got all the best answers. You know, you're like the person that everybody should know and have that person to go to. And these are really, really great ideas and suggestions. Mm-hmm.
Just thought of a book. There is a book that I read to my kids about emotions. It's called The Color Monster. So each emotion is a different color monster. Like red, green, yellow. And so, but it's really interesting as far as the way it explains the different emotions. And I think it's really good for young kids to kind of understand and relate in the way that they describe it. So, you know, if parents need a book to help with kids, like recognize their emotions, because that's the kind of the key to all of this, is recognizing emotions in yourself and then in others.
So great. It really is. So it's called The Color Monster. That's really great. Because like I said, you know, we can listen and we can learn, but having that information to go back to over and over is really helpful, because, you know, parenting, as you know, is a lifelong journey that doesn't end when they're 10, 15, 18, 20. It keeps on going, right? So this is great. Well, it is such an enormous pleasure of having you back. This is so helpful. Again, this is about empathy today, and I know that we can all keep learning empathy even as we get older and go through our lives. And it's something that I know you and I both agree that it even should be taught more. So I know a lot of people are going to enjoy this part two session as well. So thank you so much again for being a guest on here. Sure. This is so important, and we really appreciate you coming back on the show.
For sure. Thank you. One last thing I just wanted to add, something that stuck with me from the, I was watching a lecture, Mary Gordon, who did the Seeds of Empathy program. She says something that really resonated. She said that one of the biggest milestones in our, you know, this century is walking on the moon. And so she says, why can't we learn to walk in other people's shoes if we can, you know, someone can walk on the moon. So I thought that was kind of powerful. You know, it's just, you know, it sounds like it's easy, you know, something easy, but it's not, you know, it's something that we just have to practice. And so I thought that was
really cool. That's really powerful. That's really powerful. So, well, thank you again. It's always a pleasure having you on here. And I know you're going to help so many people. Graciously appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus, the creative office. We create products that help you focus and refocus. We've got over 36 products. You can find us at Amazon, Walmart, Wayfair, Staples.com, and 200 Staples stores. You can find us at Oriental Trading, Michaels.com, Newegg, eBay, a lot of different places, and also our own website, which is refocus.com. If you haven't checked out our website lately, check it out because we've got some new things on there. First of all, our 2024 annual calendars are just coming out now. We've only got so many, so definitely want to pre-order those as soon as you can. Our academic calendars, we've still got some left. Those are really selling fast. And also, we're doing something new. If you have kids that are in college and you're a parent, let me tell you, I'm a mom and I've sent the care packages at a very high cost for very little. We decided to create some really cool care packages. We've got three different levels and we create those also for self-care packages, but we also have them for students. So check them out. They're pretty cool. And there's pictures on our website. So refocus.com. No matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment and refocus.